Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast with your hosts, Jen and Joe.
Hello,
Joe. We are in Flint, Michigan today at Mid-Michigan Paracon.
We are.
And if you hear a lot of background noise, there's a lot of people here.
Yeah, it's a really great convention. We did it last year. We're back again for our second year.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, really well laid out. Lots of different type of vendors, which we love.
Because
I spend all my money.
Great stories.
Mm. We have heard some very interesting paranormal stories today, which I love.
Oh, yeah.
That we'll bring to you soon.
But we do have a gentleman sitting here, patiently waiting, staring at us while we talk on a microphone. Doc is with us.
Welcome, Doc.
Well, thank you very much. That's quite an introduction.
Nice the to doc meet is you again.
The house.
Yes.
Yeah, the doc's in the house.
Look out. So we did meet at Michigan Paracon.
Yes.
We sat outside and talked about ghosty stuff, which we love. But we heard you were telling us very interesting stories. And you said that the town that in the house that you grew up in, you had some paranormal activity.
Absolutely.
Let's hear
Absolutely.
All about it.
Well, the house that I grew up in a little town called Williamson, it's about 15 miles east of Lansing, was directly across the street from what had been the original graveyard in town. And unfortunately, they supposedly dug the bodies up and moved them to the newer cemetery west of town. I don't think they got everybody.
You know, they usually don't.
No, well, the house that I grew up in, directly across the street from this location, had activity in there constantly. And my younger brother was terrified of it. And my dad thought it was all, you know.
Malarkey.
Yes, pretty much. Well, I would have things happen like one night I'd gone to bed and I had put a book that I was reading underneath the bed. And I'm sound asleep, and I woke up to the sound of pages turning up over me and to the left of where I was sleeping. And I thought it was my younger brother. I said, Jim, and I hear this, bam. And I get up, and I'm out the door. My feet couldn't run fast enough. Turned on the light, and Dad, I woke him up and told him what was going on.
Yeah.
He goes up the stairs with me. My younger brother had now come flying down the stairs, because he didn't know what the hell was going on. Sorry. And Dad goes up there and looks. In the middle of the room was the hardcover book that I had been reading.
Wow.
And he said, oh, you just threw it there. I said, no, I always slide everything under the bed.
Yeah.
I had a night where I would been working and my brother Jim came up the stairs. I heard him. I was awake. Went down the hall, went to his room, opened the door, and crawled into bed. I thought, oh, Jim's back home.
Yeah.
And then I sat bolt upright. It was Easter Sunday, and Jim wasn't there. His classes started the next day. He was gone.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
My best one is I was a firefighter.
Okay.
And back in the mid-80s, I got the opportunity to go to the National Fire Academy in Emmitsburg, Maryland. It was originally the site of Mother Elizabeth Seton's house.
Okay.
And she had been a nun,
mm-hmm.
Ran a school there, and unfortunately she passed away in the 1850s.
Okay.
And had been buried there. But her house was still there. She ended up becoming the first American saint. And so do I. I'd had lunch, which wasn't very nutritious that day. I didn't care for goulash. And I walk outside to Mother Seton's house. And as I'm standing out there, the front door opens. And there standing in front of me was a nun. And she was dressed like the nuns in Sister Act, wearing the old penguin outfit.
Okay.
And she goes, hello. I said, hello, sister. She goes, would you like a tour of Mother Seton's house? I said, well, certainly. I really appreciate it. She let me in, closed the door, and she proceeded to show me the rooms, the bedroom where she had been when she passed away, and took me to this one room that had a small chapel in. And she's standing on the right side of the altar in the chapel, and she motions with her hand. She says, "Would you like to kneel where Mother Seton knelt?"
Oh.
I said, "Oh, no, sister, I'm not worthy of that."
Yeah.
I said, "Thank you very much, but I have to get back to class." And she said, "Very well." And as it turns out, she closed the door, and I heard her lock it from the inside, and I went to class, didn't think anything more of it. Flash forward to 2001. I'm at the Michigan State Police Post 11 over in Lansing on the west side, and we were taking a terrorism class that was proctored by FEMA, guy from vice president
okay.
from the fire academy was there. And during a break, I went out to have a smoke. He was there. I said, "I just want to thank you. I've been to the academy twice, and I wanted to thank you for the wonderful classes and the tour I got of Mother Seton's house." And he burst out laughing hysterically. I said, "What's so funny?" He said, "Oh, my God, you're one of the ones." I went into cop mode going, "One what?"
Oh, my yeah. goodness.
He said, "You got a tour of Mother Seton's house." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Nobody gets a tour of Mother Seton's house. That place is closed and locked, and the only one that's got a key to it is the superintendent of the academy." I said, "So what are you trying to tell me, that I got a tour from a ghost?" And he said, "That's right." He said, "We've had reports of this for decades."
Oh, wow.
"It's always only one or two people that ever get to go in, and the same scenario. And I'm here to tell you, that nun looked as real as I look to you right now."
Oh, wow.
I got goosebumps right now.
Yeah. And it was a definite, and I've been having encounters like this all my life.
Oh, cool.
It seems I make friends with dogs and ghosts.
Okay.
Which would explain why I'm not married.
I like that. So you had mentioned that you're a dispatcher.
Yes.
Have you ever at the time received any call-ins to report on any type of paranormal activity,
Absolutely.
Ghosts or UFOs?
Absolutely. Two places in particular in Lansing. Number one is an old mansion on the north side that's run by the Parks Department. It's a Turner Dodge mansion. And it was alarmed by ADT, if I recall. And we would constantly get motion alarms on the inside of the mansion. So officers went out there. They would call in the key holder, go in and search the place. Nothing was ever found. And the second place was the Michigan State Capitol in Lansing. Same scenario. Michigan State Police used to have a post in the Capitol building, but the person that was there couldn't go investigate. He was the only one there. So they would call Lansing Police to go in and check it. Same scenario. They got motion detector alarms inside the Capitol, especially on the second floor around the rotunda, people walking around. And officers go in and check everything, and nothing was ever found. And this was a constant situation. It happened all the time. It's just, so if, you know, if anybody has the opportunity to go to either one of them, by all means.
Yeah, definitely.
I know that one location in Lansing is Demented Mitten Tours.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, and they do a wonderful job.
Hmm.
And things that people don't even think about, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it can happen anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Anyone. Yeah.
So.
Do you feel like what was in the house that you grew up with, do you feel like it stayed there when you left, or
Absolutely.
Do you think it came with you?
No, I believe it stayed right there.
Mm.
And I wanted to talk to, after we sold the house, after my dad passed away, I wanted to honestly go ask whoever
yeah.
lived there,
go back.
Have you ever had any problem?
Mm-hmm.
And never did get the chance. Mm.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to talk to. Yeah.
Oh.
Mail him a letter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, mail him a letter. That'll go far. You don't know me, but your house is haunted.
Yeah.
No.
We've talked about that before. It's like, how do you approach someone like that,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
You just walk up and go, have you had any experiences? And you'll know right away if
Their
they
eyes,
look at you funny or, yeah.
They'll get the old deer in the headlight
mm-hmm.
look.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, there's a lot out there, probably people that are listening to this right now, who have had experiences, but they're too afraid to tell people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're afraid of they'll be, you know, scoffed at mm-hmm. and people won't believe them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you start having that thing happen several times, it's something you better believe on, because yeah. I've got one more story.
Okay.
You're going to love this.
Bring it on. We love stories.
I was a firefighter EMT in the town I grew up in. And one day we got a call for a guy who, I was like 21, 22 at the time. This guy was ancient. He was probably 50. And he was having chest pains. Well, we took the ambulance out there, and this guy, I'll call him Charlie because okay. I don't want to give his real name.
Yeah.
Charlie didn't want to go anywhere. His wife and daughter finally, and us, convinced him to go. And we got him in the cot, took him out of the ambulance, and we started heading towards a rendezvous point because okay. we were basics.
Yeah.
And meet with a paramedic. We got maybe a mile from his house, and all of a sudden he goes, and he codes on us.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, oh, man, I'm screaming up to the driver, move this thing.
Yeah.
And we start CPR on him. We get to the roadside park that the paramedic was at,
mm-hmm.
and he sees what's going on, and he says, hang on. And he looks at me, just V-fib, puts the paddles on, uh-huh. clear, bang, nothing, clear, bang, nothing, clear, bang, sinus rhythm. Okay, now James, the paramedic, he got on board, and we're flying to Sparrow Hospital in Lansing, and this guy is still out like a light. Well, as we just came into East Lansing, the guy, Charlie, wakes up and he looks at me and he says, what happened? And I said, I didn't want to tell him what happened.
Yeah, you just died.
Yeah.
Technically.
Charlie was a lot smarter than I was.
Yeah.
Because he said, I said, well, you passed out on us. He said, no, I didn't. He said, I died.
Oh.
It was so beautiful over there, you should have let me go.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay. So, I've had this kind of thing, mm-hmm. thing happen all my life. It's just, it's like I said, apparently they like me.
Yeah.
Oh. He didn't elaborate on, like, what he saw or
no.
anything yeah. like that?
No.
Did he end up surviving or passing?
No, he passed away 4 days later.
Okay.
And ironically, his mother died that same Sunday that we took him in.
Oh.
And that was pretty sad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just, it's a part of life. And anybody that says it doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
you are so wrong.
Yeah. And it was actually, in a way for him, I want to say, was pretty nice for the fact that he got to see it. And then he passed away a few days later. He probably wasn't afraid of nothing. He understood.
No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. He knew. I shouldn't tell you guys this, but I will.
We only have a couple listeners, so, you know. Just,
well.
Yeah.
I went down to help at Hurricane Katrina.
Okay.
And I was single. My wife was divorcing me, and so they were calling for nurses, doctors, medics, anybody, and I'm a mm-hmm. medic. So I took a bus, went down, and I was working at accident scenes and houses and things like that. I was in this town called Greenville, Mississippi, and we were helping to basically get a bus back where it should be.
Okay.
And we were loading up the luggage, and I saw somebody next to me. I looked over, and here's a Hispanic guy, completely bald head. And the next thing I remember is this metallic spang in the side of my head.
Oh.
What he had done is taken a tire iron and whacked me in the head.
Oh.
So
a friendly hello?
Yeah. I prefer a handshake.
Yeah.
So what I did was apparently I went into a seizure.
Okay.
And this guy stole my wallet. He went back to this white Cadillac from witnesses who told me later. And they had to life flight me out of there.
Oh.
I wasn't privy to everything that happened, but apparently this guy pulled out a gun from the car and opened fire on Nevada police and Army MPs that were there.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was in a coma for 30 days.
Hmm.
And during that time, I checked out I would give it a Glasgow coma score of 3, which means you're donor material.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, apparently nobody told me that because I woke up. But on the other side, what I saw was, I could just picture in my mind right now, I was looking at this wavy field of like grain or grass sloping down towards a grove of trees. The sky colors the most intense colors you could possibly imagine. And I laid down in this grass. I heard somebody walk up to me. I looked up, and there's my dad. He'd been dead for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another guy with him I didn't recognize. And I stood up, and my dad, who was never real demonstratively affectionate, put his hands on both of my shoulders and said, "I'm so proud of you for what you've done." And I said, "I just want to lay down to sleep, Dad." And the other guy looked at me and said, "No, John, you can't sleep. You have to go back. You have one more life to save."
Oh.
And I turned around and I looked at him, and Dad was nodding. And next thing I know, I woke up from this coma. I started walking out to the nurse's station.
Oh.
There were 4 nurses standing there.
Yeah.
And I'm wheeling my IV bag and the other bags that go along with it. Stop that. Anyway, and I walk up to the nurse's station, and all 4 of them have got their mouths wide open.
Yeah, because all of a sudden you're just standing there.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to be there at all. And the head nurse who was sitting down looked at me and she said, "Mr. LaRue, you're not supposed to be here." I looked at her and very indignantly said, "Look, lady, where am I?"
Yeah.
She says, "Well, you're in Jackson." I said, "I've looked outside the window. This is not Jackson, Michigan." She said, "No, sir, you're in Jackson, Mississippi."
Oh.
And it was just... I've seen the other side, been there, done that, and nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
It looks, you can't imagine how good it looks. Just fabulous.
Colors beyond belief.
Exactly.
That's what I hear a lot. Unexplainably brilliant.
It looks kind of like a paint explosion at Sherwin-Williams. It's just extremely vibrant and absolutely peaceful.
Wow. That's amazing.
Just fabulous. I'm looking forward to when the day comes that I actually do get to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dad's going to look at me and say, "I gave you one assignment and you couldn't get that."
So have you saved the life yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many. That's what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an incredible feeling to do that.
Yeah.
And know that you pulled somebody back.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to lose.
Yeah.
So...
who do you feel that the person was with your dad?
I've talked to Rebecca Smuck, who's here, and she said it was my great-grandfather,
who
I never knew.
Okay.
And I believe her.
Yeah.
He didn't look like dad or anything else. He was balding, and wore, like, wire-framed glasses, like the old-style round glasses.
Okay.
I don't see if you're in heaven while you need them, but...
Yeah, just recognizability, maybe. I don't know.
Who knows?
Because when you were mentioning that, I was thinking maybe it was the future you.
Oh, man, I better put in for a toupee right now. It could be. Who knows?
Yeah.
I've lost hair and weight.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
So, that's my question. Being in the line of business that you're in, being in law enforcement or in public service, you always have a sense about people, right?
Yes.
You're able to read people.
Yes.
But you said you've been sensitive about things. So how do you marry those two? Like, is it useful? Is it, you know, because...
Yes, it is very useful. Rebecca, I was on an investigation up in Grand Rapids area, and I met Rebecca for the first time there.
Mm-hmm.
And... I was trying to make small talk. I didn't know who this woman was.
Yeah.
And I said, she said she was empathic. I said, "So what's it like to be empathic?" And she said, "You ought to know, you're one too."
Oh.
Really? And you know, here I was just conservative. It's a feeling, a sense you get. You can tell someone who is narcissistic the minute you meet them.
Yeah.
And... people that are empathic, this room is full of them. It's And when it came to law enforcement and firefighting and things like that, if I went into a house just by checking the person, I could tell when they were going to die or not. Hmm. They always, always, always have the smell of death around them.
Oh.
And they might be, look like they want to do a dance from Riverdance,
mm-hmm.
but they're about to check out. And it normally they did on the way to the hospital, or they did immediately afterwards. And I've lost patients that, you know, 18-year-old girl that was involved in a terrible car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And she's begging me, don't let me die, don't let me die. And she coded as soon as we got into the emergency room. But I just had this sense
that
things mm-hmm. weren't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, it never leaves you.
Yeah.
Never.
Because you've been around that point of death when people expire, do you feel or have a sense of like their soul leaving their body? Or do you think that's like too personal and like other people shouldn't or don't see it?
I've never actually witnessed it, but the human body, when they code, it's, I guess the best term to describe it is, it's like dead weight.
Yeah.
It's like the whole personality of the person is obviously gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you can tell something just isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And they may be standing right next to you and watching you do this.
Mm-hmm.
But the human body, theoretically, we shouldn't be doing what we're doing, walking around, talking, eating lunch or whatever. But the physics concept, energy can never be created nor mm-hmm. destroyed. And what makes us go, there are three electrical nodules in the back of the heart, and each one of them causes the heart to beat a certain amount.
Yeah.
And if energy cannot be destroyed, where does the energy from mm-hmm. our bodies go?
That's what I was thinking. And I've had that experience with my best friend when she passed. It was almost like she was laying there, but it wasn't her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you go from being a warm, vibrant, talkative individual to being lights around nobody's home.
Yeah.
And absolutely, absolutely, you can sense it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had the golden opportunity to not only see the spiritual orbs, or whatever you want to call them, or the manifestations, but anyone who believes that life does, you know, once you're dead, you're dead, I welcome their opinion.
Yeah.
However, I am not a believer in it because... Mm-hmm. It doesn't quit.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe, I don't know if people are reincarnated. That's entirely possible. Mm-hmm. But, quite frankly, I wouldn't want to leave when I go back the next time. It's just fascinating location.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the near-death experiences I've talked to all say the same thing.
Yes.
And, unfortunately, a lot of them want to go back before it's their time.
No.
And... It's stated, right? I mean, everybody knows that it's a no-no.
Right.
You know? But the desire is there to go back so bad.
It's like driving up I-75. You leave your home, you're driving up I-75, and you know you're going to Houghton Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to be there when you get there.
Yeah.
You know what's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
The drive may be a while, but it's well worth the drive.
Yeah.
Because what you're going to get to, a place where there's really good fishing, and you'll be able to see the fish in the water. No.
Yeah.
But that's just, it's mm-hmm. just fascinating.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Do you have any recollection of being in the coma other than that?
No.
Did it seem like it, like time just went like a time slip?
The last thing I recall is when the guy hit me with the tire, and that's it until I woke up.
Wow.
And it surprised me, and it surprised the nurses. They didn't. They're like, Houston, we got a problem here.
Yeah.
This guy's supposed to be dead. Even my sons, they were called by the hospital and said, we got good news and bad news. Good news is your dad's coming home. The bad news is he's coming home in a box.
Yeah.
Like, Oh, yeah.
And then you were standing at the nurse's station going, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And it just fascinating journey so far.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping there's going to be a lot more to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of life to be lived.
Oh, yeah. Right? More experiences out there.
And what do you put your importance on now that you've had that experience? Like, do you feel like you have more of a purpose in life? What are you putting your energy into?
My purpose in life was saving lives and running into buildings everybody else was running out of.
Mm-hmm.
My sole purpose is exactly what I've done.
Yeah.
Saving lives.
Yeah.
You know, and I've done a pretty good job of it. And to say, I want to be a computer programmer, or I want to be a hot air balloonist, or I want to do something else. No. I focus on the life-saving and also focusing on learning more about the other side.
Yeah.
I've been there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just fascinated by this. I mean, heck, from what I understand, you could even go to college in Edinburgh, Scotland to become a paranormal psychologist or
parapsychologist?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It'd be worth the trip.
Well, yeah. They've got plenty to drink there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, now you're talking.
The only colleges that actually have bars on every floor.
Oh, you mean Michigan State.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, no.
Yeah.
Nice. Go green.
Have you been have you done any recent ghost hunting or paranormal investigation, I should say?
The last one that I recall doing, I also belong to the Freemasons, and our Masonic Lodge in Mason was very active.
Yeah.
But I also belong to the Scottish Rite in Bay City.
Okay.
And we'd had reports and heard reports of activity in there as well, and myself and several other people from a paranormal association in the Mason area went to Scottish Rite because I was a member there.
Mm-hmm.
I could get us in.
Yeah.
And we did an investigation, and this was unique. One group was on the fourth floor in what we call the consistory. It's like a big, huge auditorium.
Okay.
And I was on the sixth floor. I'd never even been there before with two other guys that were doing EVPs and doing ovulus checks and things like that. And I'm doing EVP in this one room. And we kept getting voices coming over the EVPs. And on the ovulus, it was saying things like costumes and paperwork and dusty, and which was exactly what was there.
Yeah.
Well, we were there for about an hour. And it came time to leave, go back downstairs. And Chris and Chad were ahead of me. And they started down the stairs. And I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you talking to us. Have a good night. And imagine my surprise when somebody about from me to that plant, about 6-7 feet away, said, well, good night. Loud and clear.
Oh, my goodness.
No machinery of day. Uh-huh. I'm just like, the other two, they went scooting down the stairs, and I just said, if they wanted to hurt me, they could have done it by now.
Right, yeah.
It's funny because we always mention that. We're going to the investigations. We keep saying, talk to us, talk to us, talk to us. And then when they do, everybody freaks out.
Yeah.
So you see that on some of the TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they gasp in surprise. Look, this is what you came here
That's
for.
That's right.
It is well worth investigating.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do happen to have activity in your house, talk to them.
Yeah.
They'll listen.
Yeah.
You know, just because they don't take the same physical shape that they had when they're on this plane of existence, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that they've given up hearing or caring or loving.
Yes. They have plenty of time on their hands.
Yeah, so. Pretty much.
I always say, okay, they were human beings.
Right.
You wouldn't walk into somebody's house who's living in and say, talk to me. So it's like, I don't know. I get upset when people are like, just go in and start yelling and screaming at the spirits. They're human at one time.
You're very...
Be respectful.
Yeah. People that like to instigate a spirit, I don't particularly care for, because what you give out is probably what you're going to get back.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Rebecca deals in demonology, mm-hmm. and she's very good at that. Mm-hmm. Just like there are good and bad people on this plane, there are good and bad people on the other side, too.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them don't exactly work and play well with others.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of them that are mean or whatever you want to say.
Right.
Will act like the nice ones to get on your good side, and then they turn on you.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, just like they were when they were living.
Exactly. I've never had anything like that where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was more of a, okay, I'm here, I want to see what you're reading type of thing.
Yeah.
Or lights going on, mm-hmm. and things like that. But never malicious. So, you know, it just...
So, just a weird question. Like, so in your...
In my career, I've answered a lot of weird questions.
Yeah, I'm sure you have the answer. So when you have dealt with the public and maybe somebody who's having maybe, I'll say an episode, you'll know what I mean. Like, do you ever feel or at that time ever felt like it wasn't just mental health, that maybe something was got inside of them?
Yes.
Spiritually?
Yes. If one of the bad guys, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. decides to infest or enter somebody's body, that person is going to develop malicious intent, anger issues, just not quite themselves. And I'm a firm believer that they're there for one reason only, and that is to take you back with them.
Yeah. Like a soul collector.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how do you distinguish that? Say, if you're going on a run and somebody's having some kind of issue, they're acting out in some way, you know, how would you approach that as knowing it, whether it's a mental issue or is it like the same, like they already have mental issues and something gets in them, or they have somebody in them and it's causing the mental issues?
Well,
if that makes sense.
It makes sense. One of the things that when I was first trained way back when in the disco era, yes, I love the Bee Gees. That's good. I see a big career for you on America's Got Talent. It's the first rule was overview the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You look at everything, mm-hmm. and you ask questions. If they tell you that Sweet Susie has never acted like this before, and she is acting extremely peculiar, first of all, she might have a mental issue.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, she may very well have somebody taken up the no vacancy sign.
Yeah.
And decided to see what's going on. If it doesn't sound right, it's not. And you handle them the same way that you normally handle a patient, but you better have a good report to give to the doctor,
mm-hmm.
so they can take it from there. Because little Susie may be going back home with the same kind of behavior, and then things start to really manifest. And, you know, after a while, you got to start looking for a holy person or a Catholic priest to mm-hmm. exercise, because, yeah, I have heard of demons possessing somebody, and they ended up having to call a priest in, or a shaman, or, you know, someone, a holy person of some type, to get rid of this.
Yeah. You know, you go back to your, like with EMT stuff, you go back to your ABCs, you know, airway, breathing, and circulation.
Yep.
You always take care of that first, but when all else fails, you're like, what is wrong with this person? Then you start thinking of, okay, did someone possess this person or that? And, of course, you can't do that out in the field.
No.
You know, but
is the behavior when somebody's on some type of drug, different than yes. when they have a that kind of maybe a possession or something?
I've seen in the field one guy that was taken into custody in a town called Grand Ledge, where this guy was on angel dust. He had two sets of handcuffs on, mm-hmm. one over the other, and I watched this guy snap both of them at the same time. Mm. And they develop superhuman strength. Their personalities are completely different. And they just, you look at what happens to them. And the drugs that are out there,
mm-hmm.
Crystal meth, angel dust, it will really mess with that person's mind and their perceived abilities.
Yeah.
They will do things that you could not possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That guy that we ended up arresting and taking to the hospital, we had to put two backboards on top of him and sit on him to keep him from jumping out the ambulance back door.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I've heard stories about that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Been there. Watch that. Mm-hmm. Did
yeah.
it.
I bet. Yeah, it always fascinates me to be able to recognize the signs. Okay, this person just maybe took something they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
They're truly having a mental issue, or they're having some kind of spiritual possession.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, where's that fine line of like, okay, how do I distinguish?
What's
the difference?
In my situation, first of all, I can't diagnose in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
However, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that something's wrong with this individual, and it is beyond my scope of authority or ability.
Yeah.
And if they are actually possessed by something, it's going to take somebody that has a nice big Bible and wears a collar to get rid of them. And when I go on an investigation, I always carry two things with me, a rosary and a bottle of holy water.
Mm.
Just in case.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like having the in case of emergency break glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I was raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. I gave it up for Lent when I got divorced. sorry.
That's a good one. That's funny. If you could go anywhere in the world, I'd love to ask this question.
Oh, okay.
If you could go anywhere in the world, unlimited funds, no danger, where would you go?
Well, you want some danger.
Well, I mean, like, no social or political,
I was
in the
Marines. I've already seen that.
No?
Edinburgh, Scotland.
Ah, yeah.
Because it has such a history.
Mm-hmm.
And the tunnels that are underneath the city itself are extremely active.
Mm-hmm.
And just the thought of being able to converse or be in the presence of somebody who lived in the 1700s would be fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
They say it's one of the most haunted cities
it
in
is.
The world.
I've heard that. There are so many places. Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yes. We love Gettysburg.
I've been there twice, and I'm planning on going this spring. Giving myself a birthday present.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
And I would like to try to interact with, you know, one of the 51,000 people that were killed there.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the photos, watched videos on YouTube. They're still there going, hello?
Yeah.
Can I get a drink here, please?
Yeah.
What's interesting is, and I've said this on other shows, and Joe hears me say this all the time, but when you go, if you've never been to Gettysburg or listeners haven't been to Gettysburg, you have to go.
Absolutely.
Because when you walk in that town, you physically feel the history.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just the spirits or the ghosts, you feel American history.
Exactly.
It's the weirdest feeling, but it's amazing feeling.
I've been there twice. Once was I was in my high school senior trip. We could only spend a short period of time there, so you never really got the actual vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time, I took my then wife and my two young sons and her parents to Gettysburg, and they couldn't get out and go walking around and checking things out, so we had one of those little cassette tapes that, you know, they describe this, mm-hmm. that, and the other thing. But my intention this next spring is I'm going to go for an extended period of time, and I want to physically walk the battlefield. Yes. I want to see Little mm-hmm. Round Top. I want to see the Copse of Trees. I want to go by the Farnsworth House, the Jenny Wade House. Mm-hmm. I want to see these things and experience what I can.
Yeah.
It's.
And you could be anywhere in Gettysburg and have an experience. You could exactly. be in the grocery store and see soldiers yeah. walking through.
Absolutely.
You know?
I saw a video on YouTube, which, you know, you never, YouTube's suspect, but I watched a video of where they were filming a road, and you could see soldiers in the background walking by as white shadow yes. figures. And it's like, that to me would be the ultimate yeah. thing to see.
Well, yeah. and technically, they may very well be thinking, they are still on the battlefield.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just because we have done things like put a road in or something, doesn't mean that they yeah. recognize it mm-hmm. as being that.
Yeah.
You're on their ground.
One of the ways that I investigate is I think of time, and I'll say all the time, in our time, we're in this house right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I'll try to make it sound like we're in their time, or that, because, like you said, to them, they're still doing the same thing they did before.
Right.
That house may not be there.
Exactly.
It's a good example of when you hear of the shadows or the ghosts on the side of the road with no legs. Mm-hmm. Well, at that time, the road was a lot deeper.
True.
So they wouldn't have legs now because the road's up here instead of down there.
And to them, they can scoot around any way they want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there are so many things to discover, so many things to learn about. And, you know, in the old days, people didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And now it's, you can't hardly turn on TV without mm-hmm. having a ghost show of some
yeah.
type on there. And the stories that are out there, people are finally going, okay, this is pretty cool, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's more socially acceptable now.
Exactly.
To talk about it.
People are much more open-minded.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the folks in this room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this would have really flown 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Uh-uh.
No. Nope.
It'd be in somebody's basement in
yeah.
like a VFW basement with like 20 people.
Yes. Yeah.
You
but,
know?
But here you can find experts in everything
mm-hmm.
you could think about as in regards to paranormal.
Yeah.
It's I highly recommend this to
oh,
anyone
yeah.
who's interested in going.
Especially
yes.
if you want to learn. You know,
exactly.
this is the place to come, just talking to people, and everybody's so open and willing to share and hear your story.
Yes.
You know. And we've had many people come to us, and I've never told anybody this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've never said this to anybody. And that's,
or they always say, I don't want to seem weird. I'm like, hello.
Yeah.
Most people that have had experiences, oftentimes their fear is ridicule
yeah.
of what they have seen or what right. they've experienced.
Yeah.
And when they walk into an environment like this where nobody's going to sit there and say you're nuts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
These people have got the same situations that have happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Many times.
And people that are listening on this right now, many of them have had experiences mm-hmm. and haven't said anything. And there are probably people that have never even listened to something like this before that are going to start following it
yeah.
and start looking.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, you go through life and you're just focused. Okay, I'm going to work. I'm paying bills. I'm buying groceries. And this, people forget to question why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or what else is out there? Or look up in the sky.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like Andrea says, look up. That's yeah. all you have to do. Just look up.
Yep.
And you'll see things.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you so very much. I really appreciate
fun.
It.
Doc, you're welcome back anytime if you get more stories.
It's great to be back on the radio and not have police officers
yelling at you.
You know, no, I'll be out in a 7. And it's like, oh, okay. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
take care.
It.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Doc.
Yeah. Wow. You know, that's the best thing about doing these shows is just meeting people who have had real life experiences.
Yeah.
You know, it blows my mind
and
what people have been through.
We never know what the stories are going to be. And as he's still sitting here staring at us patiently, yeah, we never know what we're going to talk about, and it just flows.
And you never know who's going to stop by. We
yeah.
had some of our close friends stop by, Dana and James.
Yes, from Dead and Five. And you'll hear more of their music in about 3 minutes.
Yeah. And Devin and Frank from Life Spirit Paranormal out of Toledo.
Came all the way up from Toledo.
I know. So good to see our friends. And, you know, Erie Shores was here. Black Swamp. Swampy. Glass Paranormal
was here. Rebecca Schmuck.
The Motor City Medium. We love saying that.
To talk to Andrea again.
Yeah, Andrea Perrone from the Conjuring House. And, you know, she's got her movie is going to be coming out soon.
Yeah.
So it's...
I'm excited to see that.
More so...
It's the truth.
Her story than the Hollywood story.
Yeah.
So that's going to be exciting. You know what I really like about this particular conference is they did something different. They did an 1800s seance.
Rebecca did that.
Which we didn't get to go because we're at the vendor booth. But I like when they do different stuff like that. And then they also did a gallery reading. But, you know, it's just, this is a really fun show. A lot of energy. There's a lot of readers here. A lot of people getting readings, which I love because, you know, I think it's just so helpful to every, you know, be able to talk to somebody if you're having an issue.
Yeah. One of the cool people that are here is Reverend Jackie Mercer.
Yes.
He's a bone reader.
Yes.
And that is so interesting because he's blind and he reads by touch.
I think we need to go get a reading.
Yeah.
To be able to use other senses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of times you think people are looking at you and maybe your mannerisms and your facial expressions. Yep. But this, you know, this is just pure
what he senses.
Emotion.
Yeah.
Emotion. That's what I couldn't think of that word. It's weird because I've been feeling a lot of energy in this room today. Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't.
That's weird.
You know
like,
me.
I've had like waves. I was standing talking to somebody. All of a sudden, I get really overcome. There was a lady sells essential oils.
Okay.
And I opened it up and they're super strong and I didn't know it and I stuck my nose right in it. And I was like, oh my gosh, and it's still up my nose right now.
Well, I actually felt something. I mean, my neat legs were getting weak. I was feeling kind of dizzy and stuff, but Arby's helped that.
Did that solve it? Yes, food
Arby's.
In your belly.
But oh, wait a minute. We're not supposed to say that because we're not allowed to bring inside food out.
Or
outside food
bad.
In.
My bad.
Yeah.
We didn't do that.
No.
We imagined it. It was a ghost that did it.
Yes. Blame it on the ghost.
Yep. Anyways, Joe, another amazing show.
Yes. I love this place.
Thanks for driving. My brother drives us
everywhere.
I did drive to go get the food, and here's the funny part. I could barely see over the dashboard.
You need a pillow.
I need like two pillows and a phone book. That's our exciting life on the road. But we'll bring you more tales from the road soon. Oh, there's a guy wearing tinfoil on his head over there.
Yes, he's selling tinfoil hats.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Well, thank you for listening this week. We had a blast bringing it to you, as always, and we will bring you another exciting show coming up. Stay tuned. We have a special guest coming up. Reverend Robin Swoop is joining us. He's going to call us. Unfortunately, we can't have him in the studio because he's in Erie, Pennsylvania, and we're in Toledo. But we're going to bring a good show to you about cemeteries.
Oh my gosh,
we're
so
excited.
Stay tuned. This is going to be so interesting.
Yeah.
We have lots of cool facts and stories. So
stay tuned for that. I'm not sure if it's next week or the week after. So we'll let you know.
Yeah.
And thank you again for listening. And we will talk to you next week. Remember, get up there on our website. Check out everything we have to offer. And have a great day. And share the show with your friends.
Yes. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye.